Me and my wife are split up right now. I committed adultery. She had told me that if I was to do it, and it had anything to do with the opposite sex in that fashion or form, that she would leave. And, of course, this wasn't the first time that it happened. It had happened before.
You hear Bobby say, and of course, it wasn't the first time. In other words, a serial unfaithfulness that has occurred in their marriage. I'm going to talk to Bobby later in the program, and we're going to talk to others first. However, this is an open phones on marriage, and we'd love to have you be a part of it from our Intentional Living Center.
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, this is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Hey, today's an old-fashioned open phones, and any question regarding marriage is fair game. So call now, and remember all six of those eights. 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Now, here's Intentional Living's very own answer man, Dr. Randy Carlson.
Thank you, Kurt. I don't know about that. My wife sometimes calls me Dr. Know-It-All. I don't know. I hope not, because we don't know it all, but God does, and we're here simply to keep pointing you back to how to be intentional, to focus on God's Word. I believe with all my heart, if we follow the principles and teaching of Scripture as followers of Christ, to let Him lead and we follow, it can transform our lives. When we don't, we get messed up, bottom line. Today, we're going to talk about, we got callers standing by, talk about tithing, about depression, and of course, Bobby will be here later on unfaithfulness. Maybe you can relate to some of these topics. You're welcome to join us at 888-888-1717.
I'm Parkey Thompson with your Intentional Financial Minute. It was just 25 years ago this month that my wife came home and said, "We're going to have a baby." Now, you've heard the same thing, and that time has come that the little one is on the way. Now is the time to prepare. Get the nursery ready, all painted and set up. Start looking at names, reviewing your life insurance, all the important things in preparation of a new addition to the family. Welcoming a new one to the family can be very expensive if you let it happen. However, by intentionally preparing early for the arrival of your new gift, you can avoid the major obstacles of preparing for your new arrival. Now is the time to determine what you may need to cover of any medical expenses your insurance will not cover. Begin now to set aside the money to meet that challenge. What about any time off work that will be required for you or your spouse that will not be paid for? Now is the time to set aside money to make up that deficiency. Finally, raising a child does not have to be overly expensive. Be wise and be intentional in how you spend money on your new child. You also will now have the responsibility to teach that new child good money manager tools. While spending money on a new child is easy to do, isn't that what grandparents are for? For Intentional Living, I'm Parkey Thompson.
Well, we have Tanya on the line today. And from Michigan. Hi, Tanya. I appreciate your call. How are you today?
I'm doing good, hon. How are you?
Good, good. I appreciate your call. What's your question for me today?
Well, my husband and I finally reached our 10-10-80 goal.
Good.
Last year. Then we had like a vehicle problem. We ended up with a car that was like over 240-some thousand miles. We hit a deer with it because we live in Michigan. The insurance company totaled it. And we had a question. We wondered if the money we got back from the insurance company, if that's something you should tithe on.
Wow, that's a first time. That's an interesting question, Tanya. Here's the way I look at this. You know, the Bible talks about a tithe, the tenth, the top of the heap. Everything belongs to God. Everything that comes through our hands, everything that we ever touch really is God's in the first place. And we give back a tenth as a minimum, as a way of worshiping God and thanking God for it. And I think it really comes down to individuals making decisions as opposed to a legalism. If in your heart you're being prompted that, you know, this was an unexpected windfall, as it were, this was something that we didn't anticipate that God provided for us, and you choose to tithe on that, I think there's an extra blessing for that, clearly. I think there's an opportunity for you and your husband to give God the honor for it. I would hate to give you a legalistic yes or no answer, and I think it's something that the two of you need to explore. And I would ask you, what is your heart together leading you to do?
Well, and our heart actually did lead us to tithe on what it was that we got back from the insurance company. When we finally reached our goal of 10-10-80, it wasn't something that fit in the budget. My husband and I are budget people, and the numbers never, ever added up. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of like a step that my husband and I have been praying about, and I just said to him, let's just try 1 month. Let's see what happens for 1 month if we just took 10% and just gave it away. Gave it to our church, you know, we started tithing the other things, and it worked.
Yeah, and let me ask you, you've been doing, for those who don't know, 10-10-80 is basically a tenth is a tithe that's giving to the Lord's work. A tenth is setting aside for yourself, investing in for the future, saving, retirement, emergency fund, and so on, learning to live on 80%. And so you've done this for what? How long have you been doing this now, Tanya?
It was actually our goal in 2012.
All right.
It was about March, April, when we actually just decided just to write the check for 10% and not even think about the budget.
And you made it through the year, and you're still feeding yourself, and life is going on, and God's providing. And,
exactly.
And you've been tithing. You've also been setting aside in savings.
We're not quite there to setting money aside to the savings, but what we did notice is that when we just started tithing, money, like extra money would come in and we'd tithe off of that and then we'd still have extra money. So it went in the savings anyways.
That's amazing. That's something. That's a God thing. And Tanya, I'm just not a legalist when it comes to this. Here's what I believe. I believe wherever we start, we start. If you're listening today and you're hearing Tanya's story and you're saying we can't give 10%, tithe and save 10%, and then start with 2%, start with 3% or 5%, but get started. And as Tanya and her husband have done, they've turned their heart toward God, turned their heart toward obedience and to be intentional with their finances. And listen, God's blessing you. But don't fall into legalism with this. If God's prompting you, do it. If he's not, pray about it and then make a decision and move forward. The key here is that you're honoring God by honoring each other and doing what God is prompting you to do in your hearts. I think that's really what I would encourage you guys to stay focused on. And well, let me ask you, what has this done in terms of your relationship with each other and your marriage?
It's amazing. I don't know any other word to describe it other than just amazing. My husband and I are so much more on the same page than anything. We are going to be celebrating 13 years of being married. And before then, we dated, so it's almost like 17 years we've been together.
Good for you. You get a gold star for being intentional, Tanya, and like you say, your marriage is amazing. I'll tell you why. You're being obedient to God. You're being intentional in what he's provided for you, and you guys basically are communicating with each other about things that matter and making a decision to be in agreement and do things together, and that's powerful.
Yeah, it is very powerful.
Appreciate your call, and stay the course.
Okay, well, thank you, Dr. Rainey.
God bless you.
God bless you, too.
Bye-bye.
I called a couple years ago just out of absolute desperation. I had just found out that my husband had had an affair, and I was pretty broken. And everybody in the world, except for possibly my mom, my dad, and my pastor, were telling me that I just needed to leave him and have a divorce and get on with my life. And I called you because I knew that I still loved him, and I didn't know what else to do. And when I called you, you were so encouraging because you prayed with me and you told me, you know, to just basically draw close to God and commit to work on it with my husband as long as he was willing to work on it, and God would pull us through. Now 2 years later, and I'm very secure in our marriage right now because I know that, you know, we both went through what we went through for a reason, and now I think we both see what we have to lose and we cherish each other a lot more.
There is hope for the hopeless. There is no need to fear. When all seems lost, Jesus is.
Boy, we appreciate hearing what God has been doing in your life, and you're welcome to share what difference he's made in your life as well. Why don't you tell us on our storyline when you call 888-888-1717. All right, we go to, Arizona. Dustin is on the line today. Dustin, welcome to Intentional Living, my friend.
Hey, thank you, Dr. Randy.
Appreciate your call. Tell me, what's your question today?
My wife and I have been married for 3 years. We did get married young and fast, but right in the beginning of our marriage, we went through some tragedies that kind of caused a lot of hardship on the marriage, a lot of strain and stress. Mm. Unknowingly, I fell into a depression, and that just kind of grew over time and led into other problems, you know, irritability and anger. So the first year of our marriage was pretty rough. We almost got a divorce, but God reconciled us, changed my heart, changed her heart. However, it seemed that she was never able to let go of the things that had happened in the first year. Mm. Through that, my depression had just continued to get worse. I never really saw depression as a medical issue up until it started happening.
Yes.
So 6 months ago, she left again. I made the decision from day one when she left to be very intentional and honoring her and not getting angry with her at anything she said. And it's just been a very hard situation to go through already, having been in depression, the way that it was handled, and found out shortly after that she had decided to pursue another relationship and walk away from God. So the whole thing has just been extremely hard.
Are you separated now?
Yes, it's been about 6 months, and she did put in for divorce, and as far as I am told, that will be finalized on April 4th.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And so my struggles right now are, you know, I've been holding on to that for so long and trying to be so intentional and just, you know, trusting God that he would restore this. I'm not sure, for one, when is it time for me to let go and start to move on? And two, you know, doctors and psychologists want me to do antidepressants, and I've always been one to stay away from the pills. You know, if I'm going to be freed from depression, I'd rather it be by Jesus than knowing that it was by a pill, but I don't know anymore because I just can't.
Yeah.
I'm not living. I'm not myself. I can't do anything.
Yeah, well, Dustin, listen, two things really important. You said it. Depression is a medical condition. It can be, you know, caused by different things, can set it off and make it worse, clearly. But your experience of depression includes the chemistry of the brain and the operation of the brain. And like any other medical condition, God has allowed us in this generation to have physicians and researchers and medications that can be helpful for disease. It's not always tied to a spiritual issue. And there are people who love God with all their hearts and struggle with depression. And so I would encourage you strongly that you seek help, that you find someone you trust, and whatever, you know, is required to get the kind of help of someone that you really have confidence in, with a medical professional, psychiatrist, and getting counseling for yourself. Deal with that, because what happens with depression, Dustin, as you know, it clouds everything. It's a giant cloud hanging over your life. It's not, you can't think straight. You can't think in healthy ways. And it's hard for you to make decisions to be the man that you need to be at this point in your life and to deal with the other issues in your life when you've got this cloud in the backdrop of depression. So my encouragement to you is very strongly that you go seek help. Will you do that?
Absolutely.
All right. Can I pray with you, man? Because I know the we didn't even talk about the marriage challenges, but I just will challenge on one thing. You talked about, should I hang on? And the implication there that we got to watch out for is, somewhere or other, I can do something to change another person. As I hang on, some way or other, I can control another person. Or the implication is hanging on versus meaning, well, if she's gone, I'll go do something else. This is a time in your life, from my opinion, that you need to get help for yourself, get treatment for yourself, get healthy before you make any of those kind of decisions, and then pray for her that God will move in her life. Lord, I do pray for Dustin and for his wife. This is a, you know, there's a lot here. There's a lot of challenges going on in this young man. I sense his heart. He wants to trust you, and he does, and he wants the best. We know that you can restore him to health instantly, immediately. Of course, we would ask for that, but we want your will more than anything. But at the same time, Lord, we also know that you provide resources, medical professionals and others who can be helpful. And I pray that Dustin will find the right help that can help him be restored to health and continue in the process of growing in his relationship with you. Dustin, we'll be praying for you, man. Thank you for your call.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Dr. Ray.
Bye-bye.
One of the things that I think I'm going to try to work on is to learn what perspectives on the way I relate to my husband. And of course I do, when I think about it, I think, oh, of course I respect you, but my actions don't do that hardly as much as I should. So that'll be one of the things that I'm going to be praying about, asking God to show me.
Today you're talking about intentional things you do in your marriage. One of the things that we do is called the three dailies, and each one of you takes turns, and you do three things. List a feeling for that day. Today I felt happy, and then the reason why. And then you recall the first time you remember feeling happy, and that can start a discussion. You do two of those each, and then you do two appreciations. Today I appreciated you for, and you both do two of those, and then you pray together. So make sure and you do that daily.
And I wanted to just share how my husband and I have been living intentionally in our marriage, and it's actually something my husband started. He read Ephesians about giving himself up just as Christ did for the church. And when he did that, he started treating me so differently. And he treated life so differently. It's just beautiful. It's not always perfect, but it is wonderful.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. I know you've heard Dr. Randy talk about the 30-day challenge. Well, starting one is a great way to replace a bad habit with a good one. And of course, the best good habit is to live an intentional life in Christ. So to help you start your 30-day challenge, go to our website at theintentionallife.com. You'll find all sorts of free resources and help, along with our commitment to pray for you. Again, theintentionallife.com. Coming up, Bobby, who you heard at the beginning of the show, joins Dr. Randy. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Did you have a diary when you were a child? If not, you might consider starting one now.
From the Intentional Living Center, this is the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Linda Swindling, our intentional workplace expert.
Grown-ups call this journaling, and it's one of the best ways to get what's in your head out so you can examine it and so you can plan around it. Write down the progress you made each day. Write what you struggled with. Put down those feelings. Put down those problems and the solutions you found. Start looking how clear your mind becomes when you have a place to put things down. For Intentional Living, I'm Linda Swindling.
For more information and inspiration, go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
What were you expecting? That moment when you said, I do. Here's Dr. Randy Carlson.
You can have the marriage that God intended, and I can show you how. At the Intentional Love Marriage Conference, you're going to laugh and learn together as I help you discover the secrets to an intentional marriage.
Coming to Arizona in Mesa this Friday or Glendale this Saturday, and to Michigan at Youth Haven Ranch July 23rd. Register today at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Welcome back to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. As I said at the top of the program, today is an old-fashioned open phones. So call with your marriage questions. It's toll-free, 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Call now. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Randy?
Thanks, Kurt, and welcome back to our Intentional Living Center, where we focus every day on motivation and equipping and mentoring, finding God's purpose and living it in our life. And if you just joined us, welcome to our center today. I'll be talking with Bobby right after this montage coming up that focuses on the power of living intentionally in your marriage. If you have a story to share with us, tell us about it when you call 888-888-1717.
I try to be intentional every day when I talk to my wife, like I'm still in pursuit of her. Not like I am, that I am. It's like we just first met, but I'm trying to entice her to be with me. And the Lord's laid it on me that if you're not going to say something that is like when you first met her, to entice her to be with you, then it really works out good.
What I'm intentionally doing over the last 6 months or so is making sure that my wife knows that I am here for her. I make sure that she knows that our marriage is very important, that she's very important to me, and my focus is on her.
One thing I could do for my wife would be just to listen, let her explain things out, not always have a comeback, and just be patient. Patient to hear what she has to say, and then slow to speak.
All right, we'll go to Bobby in New Mexico on the line here on Intentional Living today. Bobby, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Dr. Randy.
Appreciate your call. What's your question for me today?
Well, me and my wife are split up right now.
Mm-hmm.
I committed adultery, and she had told me that if I was to do it, or any had anything to do with the opposite sex in that fashion or form, that she would leave. And, of course, this wasn't the first time that it happened. It had happened before.
So she said, enough.
Yes, sir.
Enough of your unfaithfulness. If you do this again, I'm out of here.
Yes, sir.
All right. So did she leave now?
She left. She's been gone now for Sunday will be a month that she's been gone.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that that's keeping us are that I get to see her is because we run a business together.
Mm. That makes it difficult, doesn't it?
It does, simply because she's told me several times just to leave her alone, give her space.
Yeah.
And
you need to honor that. I mean, you've dishonored her in the marriage by your behavior, and she's asking you to give her space. You need to honor that, because if you don't honor that, she's never going to believe that you can honor your faithfulness in the future.
Right.
Yeah. So what's your question?
Well, my question is I really don't have a question, to be honest with you. I just,
just kind of stuck.
Just kind of stuck, yes, sir.
Well, what's the desire of your heart? What is it that you want? What would be a picture of a more desirable future for you?
Well, to honor her, to cherish her, to be truthful to her, to be faithful to her.
All right. And what is that going to take?
Well, to be honest, basically.
Okay. And what is that going to take?
Show her that I can do the things that I need to do.
And what is that going to take to do that?
It's going to take a lot of work.
All right. Well, a lot of work, a lot of prayer, and some insight into why you have had a pattern of, it sounds like, serial relationships outside your marriage.
Yes, sir.
And you got to look at, is this a sex addiction? What is it? What's the pattern? What's going on? How is Satan using this to his advantage in defeating you and now damaging or destroying your marriage? And so intentional living is all about taking a picture of a more desirable future that we know God has for us based on Scripture, and then through obedience, understanding that His Word teaches us about how we're to live our lives, and applying those things every day. And so it seems to me, Bobby, that for you, the marriage may be over. I mean, she may have meant what she said and given you enough chances, and she says, I'm out of here. I don't know. I mean, is she filed, you say, for divorce?
No, she has not filed, and we have talked about it, and she has told me several times that she has not filed.
Yeah.
She does want it to work, and so do I.
Yeah.
But my action has to match my work.
Well, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, you're the one responsible for deciding if your wife's giving you a chance again. It's in your hands between you and your behavior and getting in touch with what's going on and trusting God, but getting some help because you can't want yourself or wish yourself into a good marriage. You got to commit yourself. And let's face it, we behave ourselves into a good marriage. And
yes,
we behave ourselves by loving our spouse, and that's faithfulness and all committing to our vows.
Yes, sir. And that's what's helped me out, because in the job that I had where this was happening, there was no accountability for me. I'd do my job in the morning, and then the rest of the afternoon I was free to do whatever I wanted to do. Where now that we're running this business, the both of us, I do have an accountability because I'm still out, but out and about because I deliver. But I know what I have to do. I have to go do the delivery and get back to the store in case something else comes in case she needs help at the store.
Yeah.
I have kept myself away from any possible temptation that might be there.
Yeah, but you feel so very, but Bobby, I hear you, and everyone listening does. You are very vulnerable. This includes pornography, I'm assuming.
No pornography. No.
Oh, interesting. Okay. That's good. That's positive. But you've got to get to the core of this. But if you're at a place where, you know, I've got to go do this and come right back because I can't trust myself in a sense, there's help available for you, Bobby, and you got to see this for what it is. This is a insidious problem that will destroy your relationships and your life in any number of ways if you don't get help for this. And I would encourage you to find a support group, someone who's a professional person, a counselor, a psychologist, psychiatrist, somebody to start working on this serial unfaithfulness pattern of what is it that's going on in your life that's creating this. And be serious about it. And not just to, quote, win your wife back, to win your life back, get your life back. And that really should be your goal. We'll be praying for you here, Bobby. You're not alone. This is, as we know, it's a battle for many, many men. But there's help available. I encourage you to stay the course and get that help, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, my friend. We'll be praying for you. Intentional living. Listen, guys, listen to me. We talk about intentional living. It's a picture of a more desirable future, which really is a picture of what God has for us. And God has for us a picture of purity, of faithfulness. I mean, he commands these things. This is what he wants for us, not because he's mean. He's not mean. He doesn't say go out, you know, don't go out and be unfaithful to your spouse because he's mean. It's because of Bobby's call. He knows that there's pain and suffering in disobedience to God's commands. And when we have a picture of the more desirable future and then daily, every day, trusting God in obedience, taking that next right one step, that really is intentional living.
I just want to tell you how grateful I am for your program and how much it's helped me through my Christian walk. I felt many years ago I was walking through a battleground with no weapon, and coming across your radio station made me realize that there is hope in life. The more I listened to you, the more I was able to put my armor on to help me realize that I do have a purpose in life, to let others know that they are loved.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And you do have a purpose. And we begin every one of our conference with that very point. If you find your purpose, live your purpose, you will finish strong. You will have a joy-filled life. Finding your purpose, that's part of what intentional living is all about. Thank you for sharing that with us. Scripture says, the righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. Psalm 37:14. The way to end today's program, no matter what you're facing, tell us about it at theintentionallife.com.